think I haven't been to Kern in maybe 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
3 years. Today we're going to speak about a subject that everyone finds to be very important. That is your own happiness. Krishna is going to talk about that in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Sukham Tradanim Tridhidam Shinume Bharatarshava Avyasa Ramate Yatra Dukantam Chandigashtati. Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Oh, best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Now let's hear Srila Prabhupada's purport so we can get deeper understanding of this essential point about the different types of happiness. Because I know you all want to be happy, yes? And you're hoping that by your efforts in this world, you will bring happiness to you, yes? And you want to fight away all the distress, yes? Then your life is known as successful, right? The more you can pull happiness to yourself, and the more you can push away distress, then you're known as a successful person. According to the ordinary understanding. Of course, I know that you all are not ordinary people. That's why you come here. This is a place for special persons. So we should try to understand what is this thing called happiness in its polluted state and in its pure state. Then we can properly manage our life. You see, a truly successful person has to know how to manage his or her life. This is the most important career today. Not to be a doctor or engineer or lawyer or banker. The most important career today is to be a lifestyle manager. Now, in order to be an accredited, authorized, certified lifestyle manager, you have to first be able to manage your own life. And you would be surprised to know that most people cannot manage their own life for achieving something real. Now, for achieving something temporary, something very insubstantial, people claim to be successful. But we're not talking about those kind of things. We're talking about achieving the real opulences in life, the real wealth in life, which has nothing to do with anything material. All right. Now we've already heard Lord Krishna say, there are three kinds of happiness which the conditioned soul enjoys. Krishna's giving you a big hint. Happiness which the conditioned soul enjoys. Now many of you have read Bhagavad Gita, yes? How many? You can raise your hands, please. Okay, a very learned audience. What does conditioned soul mean? We've heard it many times. Conditioned soul means someone who is under the subjugation or the domination by conditions. As long as conditions dominate your life, control your life, you can't be happy. Because your happiness is always dependent on some condition. That's why you say to yourself, if this will happen, then I'll be happy. Or if this does not happen, then I'll be happy. So many conditions you have to consider in order to be happy, yes? If this person will treat me nicely, then I'll be happy. If my children will act in a good way, then I'll be happy. If the government will act in a certain way, then I'll be happy. If the weather is a certain way, then I'll be happy. Condition after condition. If my body is healthy, then I'll be happy. If my mind is peaceful, then I'll be happy. Many of you have had the experience that you could be very physically comfortable, but your mind is full of anxiety. Yes? You have that? What can you do? You think that because my body is comfortable, because my body is feeling good at the moment, therefore I should be happy. But no, because your mind is not peaceful, because your mind is full of anxiety, worry, you cannot enjoy. This is the nature of so-called happiness for the conditioned soul. Now, Lord Krishna also says, sometimes the conditioned soul comes to an end of all this illusion. That happens when the conditioned soul has association of enlightened persons. So your life, I'm speaking to those persons gathered here, your life is very important because by your coming here, you're showing that you have the capacity for illumination, for enlightenment. That means if others come in contact with you, they can be affected in such a way that their conditioned life can come to an end. So you all have a great responsibility, not only to yourselves, but you have a great responsibility to others. I'm speaking in such a way, hoping that you recognize that the real wealth in life is to have a heart that expands, not a narrow heart, which is only concerned with me and my senses, me and my little world around me. That's all I care about. That kind of narrow, constricted, restricted heart is not satisfying. If you want to have a satisfied heart, a fulfilled heart, then in your life you must have the wealth of expansion. You see, the heart actually wants to expand, but it doesn't know how to do that. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is teaching you the method, the technology by which you can have an expanded heart. In this way, your life has real wealth, real opulence. So let's hear something from the purport. A conditioned soul tries to enjoy material happiness again and again. Thus he chews the chewed. But sometimes, in the course of such enjoyment, he becomes relieved from material entanglement by association with the great soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is always engaged in some type of sense gratification. But when he understands by good association that it is only a repetition of the same thing, and he is awakened to his real Krishna consciousness, he is sometimes relieved from such repetitive so-called happiness. Now please think about that. Repetitive so-called happiness. Who wants their life to be like that? Repetitive so-called happiness. No, you want the real thing. You want fresh, dynamic happiness that's newer and newer at every moment. Can you find that in the material world? I ask you, has anyone found material happiness in any way that's ever fresh at every moment? No. We all had hopes, right? If I do this, it's going to be so nice. And then you find out it's repetitive. The same thing over and over again. If we're really serious about having a successful life, then we have to understand this happiness problem. You cannot say, never again will I try to be happy. Has anyone ever said that? Just like you might have heard when someone has a problem in their romantic relationships, they say, oh, I'll never fall in love again. Maybe some of you have said like that. And what happened? Next weekend, next month.
Same procedure as every
year. Yeah. So, you cannot hide from these desires for happiness, for relationship, for personal exchanges. You can't hide from that. In bhakti yoga, we don't hide from these things. We confront them. We deal with them straightly. That our heart has these longings for happiness, for personal reciprocation. How is it going to happen in the right way? That is the purpose of Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes people think that what Lord Krishna is telling us in the Gita is taking all the fun out of life. No, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So if you hear from Krishna, you are hearing from the greatest expert in pleasure and happiness and relationships. Try to understand Krishna in that way. Otherwise, if you simply think God is the controller, that's not a very advanced understanding of God. For example, if any of you went to church before, any of you were churchgoers before? When I was 12 years old, I was giving sermons in church. In the Bible it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Anyone know that verse? Do you remember? Think about the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes, there was one famous preacher. He went, he was in, where was he? England, and he went to USA. You are all sinners in the hands of an angry God. Now, let's talk about that. Actually, there is some truth in this point, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it's not the end of wisdom. Just like persons are afraid of the police. They're afraid. If we do something wrong, the police will catch us. So that is some knowledge. And for those who have criminal propensities, that fear of the police keeps them in check. It keeps them from doing a lot of harm to themselves and others. So in that sense, it is true to understand that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But you should go further than that. Just like someone who is a law-abiding citizen, someone who is a peaceful citizen, who is behaving as they should, they don't fear the police. In fact, they like the police because the police will protect us. If you go, I don't know about Kern, but in some cities of the world, if you go in the bad part of the city, there the people hate the police. When the police car comes, the people get very angry as they're walking on the street. Get out of here. Because they have done some crimes and they have been captured by the police before, so they think the police are the enemy. But then you go to a nice part of the city, and there the people like the police. In fact, they want to see the police more. Please, come in our neighborhood more. And when there's, I don't know, in Germany, but in other countries, sometimes the neighbors, they make a special day for honoring the police, you know, they give gifts, and, you know, they have some barbecue or something, you know. They don't do that here.
No.
Not even. Not even in the villages? No? So, you should fear that there are things as birth and death and old age and disease. There is time. Everyone should be afraid of time. That is the beginning of knowledge. That is true. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is giving you, in summary, the end of all knowledge. Therefore, he says, Veda Ishtasarvara Ahameva Veja, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the goal of the Vedas. That means the goal of Vedic knowledge is to understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer. Now, how is it that the supreme enjoyer is going to give you instructions that are going to take all the pleasure out of life? How can that be? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and therefore he can give you instruction by which you can taste the best pleasure. The best person to learn from is someone who is expert in a particular way. So Krishna is the pleasure expert. That means if you're interested in pleasure, which I know all of you are, is there anyone here not interested in pleasure? Even this little boy, he's interested in pleasure. Of course. The oldest person here. He or she's interested in pleasure. So, once you understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, then I think you'll listen to Krishna with a more peaceful mind. It's true, you can approach Krishna out of fear. Oh, I don't want to go to the hellish planets in my next life. Ooh, I don't want to take birth as an animal in my next life. I'd better listen to Krishna. That's the beginning of knowledge, but it's not the end of all knowledge. The end of all knowledge is pleasure, happiness. Krishna is the most expert in that, and by his instructions, he's inviting you to taste real pleasure. Now, how can we object to that? The only reason why we do not take Krishna's proposal is because of our attachment to illusion. This is something each of us has to deal with individually. What is holding me back? Why am I unable to take advantage of Krishna's instruction? We have attachments to illusion. We have to admit that. So if you're going to be a successful lifestyle manager of your own life, you have to make a list of all your attachments. Sometimes we're afraid to do that. We'll look at our bank statement every month very carefully, yes? When you get your credit card statement every month, you make sure that you're not being charged for anything improperly, right? In order to be a successful person, you should keep track of your financial affairs. The close eye. You get some satisfaction from that. It's like I remember, I like to tell devotees, when I was a little boy, I would watch my father, and he had, every Saturday, he had a ritual that he would do. He had a special antique desk and a special pen with gold on it. This was his bill paying desk and his bill paying pen. So every Saturday he would sit down at the special bill paying desk, and with great feeling, very, how do you say, feeling very fulfilled and feeling very expert and successful, he would write out checks to pay this bill, that bill. As a little boy, I was just wondering, now, what's so great about paying bills? Where does the satisfaction come from? I even asked him when I was old, a little bit older, I think when I was 9 years old. I said, Father, please tell me, what is the pleasure in paying bills? So, he said, oh, you will understand one day what it's like to be responsible and to execute your duties. You'll understand one day. Now, you cannot understand. Now, of course, I was appreciating that father is, you know, being responsible for his family, but at the same time, I was trying to understand what is the special happiness in writing a check and paying bills. I couldn't understand that. But, of course, you know, the way traditional culture is in society, you get a sense of accomplishment that I am maintaining, I am doing things, I am buying things and paying for them. It gives you a sense of self-worth. So, is this the only way that we can get self-worth? You can come up with other examples. But we should be concerned, what is the best way that I can actually be expert about my life? Because there's no doubt we want to have the feeling that we're living our life properly. If you don't have that feeling, you become depressed. Some of you know about this. There are moments, years, that happen in your life in which you feel, oh, everything is out of my control, or, oh, I made such big mistakes, or even, I don't know what I'm doing. It happens sometimes, yeah? You don't like that feeling. You want to feel that you're on top of your life. Yes, I'm doing everything nicely. Everything's happening according to plan. Yes. My job is going on nicely. My university studies are proceeding very nicely. My romantic affairs are in order. Yes, you want that feeling, yes. People listen to me. People think I'm a nice person. And I think I'm a nice person, too. Yeah? You want that feeling. I have at least one person who cares for me, mostly, and you want that feeling. But what Krishna is telling you in Bhagavad Gita is that there are much better ways to evaluate your life. If you're truly going to understand lifestyle management, then you need to understand what is real wealth. What is real opulence? What is real success? The truly successful person knows how to connect with the spiritual energy that Lord Krishna wants to make available to you. Just like there's rain falling from the sky, the flowers that are able to take that rain, they prosper. But if there are flowers that cannot connect with the rain, these flowers suffer. So we want to manage our life so that we're always in contact with the rain of nectar coming from Lord Krishna. How does Krishna give you his mercy? He gives you his mercy in the form of his activities. By Krishna's activities, by his lila, he acts in such a way that when you remember his activities, you get pleasure. You get such pleasure that you become, you avoid the material misery just by focusing on Krishna's activities. This is Krishna's plan, how you can manage your life. Krishna acts in such a way that you are attracted unlimitedly to what he does. In this way, even though we are living in the age of Kali, which is dense darkness and ignorance, as you may notice, the machines, the computers become more advanced, but the people become less and less intelligent. The people become increased in degradation. They don't become better in character. For such persons in this dense darkness of ignorance, Krishna presents his activities. This is not something imaginary. This is not mythological. By Krishna's activities, he presents something that you can make the center of your life. If you make the center of your life Krishna's activities, Krishna's name, Krishna's qualities, that is the real wealth. And the more that you have that wealth, you'll be able to resist the tsunamis of material desire. We were discussing this morning in our class near Vishpani, that sometimes you feel like, even though you know something about Krishna consciousness and you know that real happiness is not material, still you look out your window and you see a tsunami of material desires coming. Yes, it is. And you don't know what to do. Oh, what am I going to do? It seems impossible to overcome these waves of material desires. Do you know how fast the tsunami moves? The recent one that happened in Asia? When it's in the ocean, it's moving as fast as a jetliner. Yes? And then it slows down when it hits the shore. What is the speed of a tsunami when it hits the shore? Only 160 kilometers per hour. Only. Now what are you going to do about that if you're on the beach? Similarly, we feel that way about the tsunamis of material desires. Material desires mean desires for material pleasure. That means how I can please my temporary body and senses. This is the reality we live in. You see, in Krishna consciousness, we don't hide from reality. We analyze it. And we try to find what is real. And separate ourselves from what is false. This art is necessary if you want to manage your life. You have to know how to see what is real and what is false. Even in terms of happiness. Now sometimes people are so starved for happiness, so desperate for happiness, that they say, I'll take happiness any way it comes. Maybe you remember saying something like that? Any kind of pleasure, any kind of happiness, I'll take it. Why should I discriminate? Why should I distinguish? I want pleasure. I want happiness. I'll take it anyway. Anyhow. Whatever type. Material happiness, spiritual happiness, whatever. Let it come. No. You cannot manage your lifestyle successfully with this kind of false understanding. Lord Krishna is going to teach you in Bhagavad Gita that in order to be truly happy, you must discriminate, you must analyze. That's why you have intelligence. How to discriminate between real pleasure and false pleasure. Now, does this seem like a burden? Does this seem too much? Maybe it doesn't seem very attractive to you to sit and think, what is real happiness, what is false happiness? It seems better, yes, to just take whatever comes. Any kind of pleasure, material, spiritual, mixed, anything, I'll just take. No, that is not how to have a successful life. If you want the real wealth, if you want the real opulence, then you must discriminate. And that's why Krishna is explaining these things to you. We want to arrange our life in such a way that we are accumulating spiritual opulences, spiritual wealth. That is the only thing that will satisfy our hearts and minds. What is the spiritual wealth and opulence of a Krishna conscious person? Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes. These should be the center of our life. And then we can say that we have managed our lifestyle successfully. Matter cannot satisfy us. How long does it take for us to understand that? It's not easy, because the material energy is so strong. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhunam Jamanamante, Jnanamam Mam Prabhupada. After many births and deaths, you finally come to the conclusion what is real and what is not real. But you don't have to wait for many births and deaths of experience to understand what is real wealth, what is real lifestyle management. You can do it immediately if you focus upon Krishna and what Krishna does. And I'll make one last point. I know that it's difficult for some of you to think that I can be happy just by meditating on what someone else does. So therefore you think, how can I be truly happy and successful by thinking all the time of what Krishna does? I mean, Krishna's great, very nice, Hare Krishna. But I've got my life. I've got my desires. I've got things I want to do. How can Krishna deal with that? Okay, Krishna's God. He's got all the pleasure. Great. What does that do for me? In the real world. Yes? Don't we think like that sometimes? Bhagavad Gita is one thing, but the real world is something else. I'm living in the real world where you have to pay bills, you work, you go to school, you struggle. How can it be that simply by focusing upon Krishna's leelas, Krishna's pastimes, I can be happy? I mean, it's nice to hear about Krishna, I agree. But is that really going to solve my problems? Is that really going to make me feel fulfilled? These are some issues that we have to deal with. What you're saying is that, look, I've had relationships before, but I can't truly say that I was completely happy in my heart just by thinking about what someone else does. We were speaking about this morning in our class. Mainly, I've seen that sometimes mothers, they can get some happiness by thinking what their children are doing. I know my mother is like that. She gets some happiness. She imagines, oh, what part of the world is my son in now? Now he's in Germany. What is he doing? She gets some happiness. But I also notice it's not enough to completely satisfy it. So we judge like that when we think about Krishna. Okay, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita we should always meditate on his activities, his name, his form. But I don't want to say it in public, but privately I'm thinking, is that really going to satisfy me? I mean, I've got things to do, I've got plans, places to go, people to meet. I've got to do these things in order to be happy. How is it that simply by my thinking about Krishna's activities and qualities, I'm going to be fully satisfied? This is our doubt. Therefore, if we're going to make progress in our life, we need to understand Krishna more. The more you understand Krishna, naturally, the more you'll be attractive, because Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. We haven't experienced that kind of person in the material world who is unlimitedly attractive. But that is the nature of Krishna consciousness. You're becoming conscious of a person who is unlimitedly attractive in every way. You've never met a person like that before. All the persons you've met whom you've been attracted to, there's always limited attraction. Therefore, your heart is not completely fulfilled. Think about it. Think about the most dear person to you, whether in the past or in the present, or maybe your future hopes. Most dear person. Would you be attracted to that person without end, unlimitedly? No. Generally, you say like this, well, there's some good things about the person, there's some bad things. The good is more than the bad, so okay, it's a deal, we'll call it a relationship. Isn't it something? Krishna's not like that. Krishna's unlimitedly attractive. Any way you look at Krishna in terms of his personality, his form, his activities, there's no limit to the attraction. That is why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is presenting real happiness to you. The happiness of connecting to Krishna on the spiritual platform. That is real wealth. Real opulence. So if we manage our lifestyle so that Krishna is in the center of our life, that is true success. And this is the kind of success that we want all of you to have. And then to teach others how to do this. I can speak about this for many hours, but we have a schedule to follow. So I'll just stop here and ask if you have any questions about this very vital subject matter of happiness and pleasure. Undeniably, this is very important for you. So, you have some questions you can ask? Yes?
Please. May I forgot them? I want to ask, how was the three different kinds of pleasure in this world?
Yes. Krishna's introducing that subject matter. The first kind is happiness which seems difficult in the beginning. But then in the end, you realize this is very sweet. That is like following the rules of purification in Krishna consciousness. At first it seems difficult. But then when you start tasting the nectar of spiritual happiness, it becomes easy. Then there's another kind of happiness, which seems very good in the beginning. But later it turns out to be distress. It looks sweet in the beginning, but it turns to be poison. Passion is like that. You've all had an experience to be absorbed in passion. Oh, this is going to be so good. And then, sometime later, that very thing that you supposedly love so much, now you hate. You had an experience? 1 month, someone is so dear to you. You're embracing them so tightly. The next month, get out of my life. I never want to see you again. It happens, yes? Yeah? That's passionate happiness. Nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. And then, there's the kind of happiness that is complete delusion, complete madness from beginning to end. Intoxication is like that. It's completely crazy from the beginning to the end. Krishna consciousness is beyond all these types of happiness. Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with the material energy, material happiness. The more that we can shape our life for being in contact with Krishna, the more we will lose our false attraction for the waves of material desires. These are the most important realizations that we should try to have in this short human form of life. This is real success. This is real achievement for your life. Anything else? Yes.
What made you doubt the material happiness and actually give you the conclusion to join Krishna consciousness?
Everyone heard? You have to speak very loudly. Alright. What made me doubt the material happiness and...
What gave you the conclusion that you should join Krishna consciousness?
What gave me the conclusion that I should take up Krishna consciousness? You really want to know?
I mean, I know you did study, somebody who studied on Yale University, so I'm pretty sure that due to the study there, you already knew about the material opulence that they are, like, really satisfying your true self, like the Krishna soul in you. But what was it? We really made the last step to say, well, okay, this is it, I'm done with it, and I'll join Krishna consciousness, and that's it.
So you know something. You're asking what I learned at Yale University. Nothing to do with real happiness. The purpose of Yale University is to teach you how to control and manipulate the world. No, the purpose of Yale University is more than how to pay bills. It's how to become George Bush. That's where he's from, and that's where his father is from. Also, most American presidents come from that university. So I won't say anything more. I prided myself in my university days as being an enjoyer. I always knew the best places to go, the best clubs, the best music, like that. I was a New York City boy. Just like here in Germany, you have Berlin.
Yes,
you know, the happening scene, yes, Berlin. Similarly, I was a New York City boy, and so I knew how to have action, excitement. But then I started to think, if I'm truly a pleasure lover, if I'm genuine, I must find pleasure that doesn't have an end. That was my conclusion. Therefore, I became interested in Krishna consciousness. Because I thought, if I'm true to my reputation, I'm a pleasure lover. All my friends would say, yeah, he's a pleasure lover. He knows where the good times are. So I thought, in order for my reputation to be genuine, I have to find pleasure that has no end. That's the true goal of my life. So I decided that in my early 20s. I said, I don't want to die with any regrets. I want my life to be successful in terms of getting real pleasure. So, in short, that was the main reason of my decision. It's a long story, but I made it very short. You have to decide for yourselves how much do you want real pleasure. You'll be surprised that most persons aren't willing to pay the price for real pleasure. Because the way society is arranged now, you're taught not to care for yourself that much. Don't worry about what happens to you. There'll always be a nice TV show. There'll be some nice beer. There'll be some nice passion for everyone. Why should you think so much? That's the way society is arranged. So, it is true that most people really don't care about themselves. But Krishna consciousness is for the special persons who take their life very seriously, who take their pleasure very seriously. I'm sure that you all are like that. Now, let me warn you that I can go on speaking about these things for a long time. I appreciate your deep attention, and it's very inspiring for me. That's why I like to come to Kern and talk to you all, because you listen so carefully. But we do have a schedule. If any of you want to talk more, we can do it after the program. I'll be here until when? Tuesday morning? All right.